Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion, Saving the Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website. And I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans. How to get what works on paper to work in real life. I'm just back from vacation. Me and my wife took our boys, Timothy and Robert, to Ocean City, New Jersey. And we had a fantastic time. We were very lucky this year. They had a little problem there with the beach before we got there. Some dentist had left medical waste, dumped medical waste into the ocean, and they had to close the beach for a day, I believe. And that big storm was coming in just about the time we left. But we had perfect days, and the sky started getting dark just as we got in the car to drive back to my mother's house in Philadelphia. So the fates were looking out for us, and Timothy was just, Timothy is eight, and he was totally out of control. He would just run himself ragged until he collapsed. And Robert was a little more normal, but also had a good time. So that was a trip, and that's the explanation for that jazzy sort of opening there. Too jazzy sort of opening. They're all a little bit jazzy, but that one got a little bit out of hand. But I got that on my system now, so I'll calm down and become an investing advisor. A very serious business. This is the 11th podcast I've recorded. And this one, I'm recording it in September of 2008, post-vacation. And this one is entitled, Today's Retirement Planning Tools Don't Work. This is where I got on the bus dealing with investing issues. I started writing on the internet in May of 1999 on saving and didn't really get serious about it until December of 1999. But it was in May of 2002 when I started writing about investing. And the post that started, that kicked off this crazy great safe withdrawal rate debate that has dominated discussion at half a dozen discussion boards in the 6 years since. The question raised in that kickoff post was, do valuations affect safe withdrawal rates? And we're bringing it all back home in this podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to what we discovered as a result of that post is that yes, the answer is yes, valuations very much do affect safe withdrawal rates. And that's led us in all sorts of exciting directions. We've learned all sorts of exciting things. We've had lots of friction, lots of ugliness from people who didn't want to learn the things we've learned and didn't want others to learn the things we've learned. But this podcast brings us back to the beginning, the first big finding, the thing that you know started this explosion of learning about how investing really works in the real world. And the reason I happen to learn this is not, you know, that I have some super IQ or that, you know, I have some sort of super insight into into how to invest in stocks. You don't need that. You don't need that. You know, I really like that title of an earlier podcast where I say, I know more about investing than John Bogle, and you can too, because the state of knowledge about how to invest in stocks is today is primitive. It's just amazingly primitive. We are at the most basic elementary level that you could be at, and it doesn't seem that way. People look at the stuff being generated, the books and the magazine articles and the websites and all this sort of thing, and you know, they're impressed by it, and they sort of fall back and they get on their knees and they pray to it. They think, this stuff, it must be serious. These people, they study and they know these numbers, and holy moly, they know so much more than I do. I better just do what they say. But no, there's no such thing as an investing expert today, says Rob Bennett. Whenever you see me use the word expert at my website, almost always I try to remember to put that word in quotes, because there is no such thing as an investing expert today. We are at a primitive level of development of our knowledge of how investing works. That's the reality. And if you have any doubts about that, please go to the website and explore the articles, and you'll see what I mean. But that's why a podcast like this one is possible. Look at this, the title of this podcast: Today's Retirement Planning Tools Don't Work. That's a bold claim. There are people out there giving you information on how to retire, how to put together your retirement plan. And Rob Bennett, who is essentially some guy who posts stuff on the internet, that's what I am. Rob Bennett says that those retirement planning tools don't work. Where does he get off? Who is this guy? The answer is, I'm a guy who used those tools to plan my retirement. I wasn't planning a conventional retirement. I was planning a newfangled sort of retirement that you can read about in my book, which is on saving, not on investing. And but I had it, you know, newfangled or not, I wanted that retirement plan to work. I didn't want it to fail. I've got, you know, my wife's a stay-at-home mom. I've got two small boys counting on me to come through for them. So I had to check these things out. And what I did back in the mid-1990s is I didn't just read the conventional advice on how to put together a retirement plan and then, you know, adopt that as my own. I did a little research. I checked it out. And the most important thing I did is I read John Bogle's first book, Common Sense on Mutual Funds. And from that book, I learned where stock returns come from. And from learning where stock returns come from, I learned that today's retirement planning tools don't work. I'm not kidding. They don't work. They get the numbers wrong. And they don't get the numbers a little bit wrong. I'm not raising some hyper-technical point where I say the numbers are a little bit off, you know, if you take them out to three decimal points. No. Today's retirement planning tools are wildly off the mark. They get the number nowhere even close to being right. They're dangerous. Today's retirement planning tools are dangerous. So you need to know that, especially if you're planning a retirement. Certainly if you're near the stage where you're, you know, you're old enough that you're planning a conventional retirement, or if you're contemplating an early retirement, you certainly need to learn about the flaws in today's retirement studies and retirement calculators. But even if you're not, I think you need to listen to this podcast, because when you learn how wrong the information being given to people today on retirement is, that's going to change how you think about everything you hear about investing from that point forward. It's going to blow your mind. It blew my mind. You know, I learned the basics of this back in the mid-1990s. I didn't post about it until May of 2002. And ever since then, it's just been an explosion of knowledge, a mind-blowing experience. And that continues to the current day. I marvel. I wake up sometimes and I think of all we've learned in our discussions on the retire early boards and the indexing boards, and I think, no, I must have dreamed that. That couldn't have happened. A group of people getting together on the internet can't prove all the experts wrong on such critical issues. That's not possible. And I check, you know, I check. Yeah, that's what we did. That's what we did. So I want to spend a little bit of time in today's podcast going over the basics of what we've learned and why it is that I say that today's retirement planning tools don't work. What I'm talking about here, I want you to understand, is I'm not talking about one study. There's you know, when we had our discussions at the Motley Fool Board, that's where these discussions started. We were talking about one particular study. It was a study done by a fellow named John Graney. He's the owner of the RetireEarlyHomepage.com website, and you can look at his study. And a lot of people tried to personalize the debate. They'd say, "Oh, Rob Bennett is, you know, got something about John Graney," and nothing could be further from the truth. I consider John to be a friend to this day. I deplore his behavior, but I had good times with John, and you know, that still counts for something in my book, even if it doesn't in his, and it doesn't in his. I'm sad to say, but John's site, John's study, doesn't work. That's certainly true, but it's certainly not only John, okay? John took the methodology for his study from studies done by a lot of big-name experts, people that get paid a lot of money to know this stuff. And people in this field, a lot of people in this field get paid a lot of money, and they're highly educated, and they should be doing a better job. I don't mean that as a hit. I mean it as a warning, you know? There's a difference. But these people should be doing a better job. That I believe strongly. Something like this should not be possible. Some guy who posts stuff on the internet shouldn't be able to come along and find all these errors in these studies that people use to plan their retirements. And in John's defense, John Graney I'm talking about, John should be able to base his study on the studies by the big name people and get it right. And I believe that he thought it was right when he put the study out. And the reality is you can't do that. Not in the investing field. You need to check it out for yourself. And the studies are all wrong. But these studies are used in almost everything you hear. The studies we're talking about are safe withdrawal rate studies. Okay? That's a particular branch of research in the investing field. And It's a big deal in the investing field among retirement planners. They hold conferences just on safe withdrawal rates. So this is a big deal. But you may have never read a safe withdrawal rate study, and you may think, oh, this doesn't apply to me. Well, it does. Because if you've read an article about retirement in a newspaper or in a magazine, then you've been influenced by what the old school safe withdrawal rate studies say. Because these studies are... they're the foundation for almost everything you hear about retirement planning today. So these studies have had huge influence. In the event that stocks perform in the future anything at all as they have always performed in the past, we are going to see in days to come millions of busted retirements as a result of the demonstrably false claims put forward in the old school safe withdrawal rate studies. We're going to see millions of busted retirements. This is a big story. And you need to know about it because someday you're going to retire and you're going to need to know how to do it properly. And if you want to do it properly, you're going to have to use the new school studies which we have originated in the retire early and indexing communities as we have learned about the flaws of the old school studies. When I say, when I use the phrases new school and old school, the distinction is the new school studies include an adjustment for the valuation level that applies at the starting date of the retirement. If you ever hear of somebody talking about a retirement study and they're telling you how much you can afford to take out of your portfolio every year, be sure to ask them or read the study carefully and find out, does that study say that the safe withdrawal rate is the same every year, regardless of the valuation level that applies on the day the retirement begins? Or does that study say that the safe withdrawal rate changes with changes in valuation levels? If the safe withdrawal rate level is the same every year, you know that that study is flawed. You know that that study is wrong. You know that that study is dangerous. If the study reports different numbers when valuation levels at different valuation levels, that's a good sign. That's a sign that you're dealing with a new school study, a study that is analytically valid, a study that uses an analytically valid methodology, because valuations affect the safe withdrawal rate. So obviously, if you don't have a different safe withdrawal rate at different valuation levels, you haven't taken valuations into consideration in coming to your conclusion. There's only one calculator on the internet today that uses an analytically valid methodology, and that's the calculator at my website and also at John Walter Russell's website. John and I work together in developing these calculators, and so I hope if you're planning a retirement, you'll look at that calculator. It's called the Retirement Risk Evaluator. It's at both my website, PassionSaving.com, and it's also at John's website. John's website is early-retirement-planning-insights.com. So check out that calculator, and I'll be doing a podcast later on that will focus just on the calculator and how it works. So we'll be getting into that in more detail. But for today, I want to just hit on the highlights of why it is that most 90% of the retirement advice you hear today is wrong. You know, why is that? Well, one thing I'll say as a preface to that is that the old school safe withdrawal rate studies were once upon a time state-of-the-art research. William Bernstein has described the old school studies as quote-unquote breakthrough research. And I think Bill Bernstein is exactly right. What happens in any field of human endeavor is that we learn over time. And there was a time when our knowledge of what we had to do to plan a retirement was even worse than it is today. The old school studies were a big step forward. I won't go into all the reasons because that would take up too much time. But what they did was they rationalized in retirement planning. They gave us a way to look at the historical data and find objective insights into what we need to do to put together a safe retirement. So I'm a big fan of the old school studies. Please understand that. When John Graney's study was made available at the soapbox.com website, I gave it a 5-star review. And the reason is because his study does get the numbers wrong. It's a dangerous study, but it's a big advance over what was available before. And it's a very thorough study. It examines a lot of different issues. So there was one guy, one of the goon posters, his name is Attalos, and he said one time that if the old school studies get the numbers wrong, as I say they do, then the old school studies are, quote, worthless. Worthless. I am uncomfortable with that. I don't view them as being worthless. They are dangerous, That's certainly true, because they're telling people things that are not so, and they're giving people false confidence in high-risk retirement plans. So they're extremely dangerous. They're going to cause great human misery when we see these millions of busted retirements. That's obviously a bad thing. I don't agree with the idea, though, that they are worthless. What they are is an advance in our understanding of how to put together successful retirement plans. So we went from one level of understanding, we took a big jump forward when the old school safe withdrawal rate studies were developed. I believe they were developed in the early 1990s. That's my recollection. They are not the last word in retirement planning. These studies are flawed. These studies are dramatically, flawed in very dramatic ways. And the new school studies are a huge advance, again, in our understanding of how retirement planning works. And I don't at all mean to suggest that we will never have further advances. I hope we will. My belief is that as the new school studies become the dominant way of understanding how retirement planning works, people will be talking about them all over the internet. The conferences will be on the new school studies, not the old school studies. And, they'll become extremely popular at some point. And then at some point, young whippersnapper will come along and knock the new school studies off their perch. We will find flaws in the new school studies, and hopefully our understanding of how retirement planning works will advance yet again. So please, don't characterize me as someone who thinks the old school studies have no value. They advanced our knowledge. They had value. They are dangerous. I certainly don't mind being quoted as saying they are dangerous, and that they are likely going to cause millions of busted retirements, huge amounts of human misery. But that doesn't mean that they were not an important advance in our understanding at the time they came out. Now, let me explain a little bit about what it is the old school retirement studies do. Once you understand what they do, I will be able to point out why they don't work, why they are so flawed. What the old school studies do is they look at the historical stock return data. And the goal is to determine what withdrawal rate is safe. How much can you take out of your retirement portfolio each year and be confident, be highly confident, that you will not suffer a busted retirement? They have to make certain, in order to do this, we have to make certain assumptions. One of the things the studies usually assume is that you need the retirement to survive for 30 years for it to be safe. So if you were to retire at age 65 and your retirement lasts 30 years, you would be 95. The presumption is if you get to age 95, the retirement plan has done its job. So that's one of the assumptions. Another assumption they need to make in order to do any study at all is what sort of stock allocation are you going to go with? The old school studies all tend to go with high stock allocations, something in the order of 70, 75, 80% stocks. I am inclined to think that's too high, but I think what happened is these studies were developed during this huge bull market, and everyone was sort of, influenced by that. And we were sort of going through this crazy time where people just thought stocks could do things that no investment class could ever do. And so there was this tendency to go with too high of a stock allocation. But with the retirement risk evaluator, the new school calculator, you can use any stock valuation you please. You can enter it in and get different results. But when I compare the numbers with the old school studies, I give you the numbers for an 80% stock allocation, a high stock allocation, so that you're comparing apples to apples, when we're talking about what the new school studies find and what the old school studies find. So what these researchers did was they said, let's say that someone's retiring They want their retirement to last 30 years. They don't mind seeing the retirement portfolio depleted to zero at the end of that 30 years. Now, again, I'm not crazy about that assumption. And with the retirement risk evaluator, we set it up so that you can make any assumption you want. You can see what the safe withdrawal rate is if you're going to have the portfolio depleted. You can also see what it is if you don't want it depleted at all. You can see what it is if you want it depleted by 50%. Whatever assumption you want, you can plug in. But when we're comparing numbers, we assume that it will be depleted to zero at the end of 30 years. So what the researchers did was they assumed a 30-year retirement. They assumed an 80% stock allocation. They assumed that the portfolio would be depleted to zero at the end of 30 years. With those assumptions, they then looked at the historical data and they said, if someone retired in the year 1921, what withdrawal rate would work? And then they went through every other year. They went through 1922 and 23 and you know, all the way into the current day, as far as they could go. And they would check different withdrawal rates. So say that you took a withdrawal rate of 3%. Say that the retiree has $1 million portfolio and he's going to try to withdraw 3% every year, which is $30,000. And that's inflation adjusted. The way these studies are done, the withdrawal rate is inflation adjusted. So you'd be taking out more than $30,000 in later years, but you'd be taking out the equivalent of $30,000 in today's dollars. Would that work? Would that 3% withdrawal work? Not in just 1 year, but in every year. In every year in the past. And the thought, the logic behind these studies is, if it works in every year, it's safe. That's the thought. And what you find is that if you took 3%, that would work in every single year. And if you took 3.5%, that would work in every single year. And if you took 4%, that would work in every single year. You can't take more than 4%. If you take 4.2%, you'd have at least one failure. At least 1 year in which that retirement would fail. So 4% is the number that you can take and have your retirement always succeed. Now, do you see how that's plausible? It sounds good. When you first hear it, you say, hey, you know, we have historical data going all the way back to 1870, 138 years, and if you took a 4% withdrawal, it would have worked in every single year. There's never a failure. Well, that's safe, right? That 4% withdrawal works in a worst case scenario, right? That's the claim. That's the old school methodology. Now, it's wrong. The reason it's wrong, just think about this. Think about it conceptually first and then check the numbers. Is there any chance that the safe withdrawal rate could be a single number? That the safe withdrawal rate would be 4% today, and that the safe withdrawal rate would be 4% back in January of 2000 when we were at the highest valuation level ever seen in history, and that the safe withdrawal rate would be 4% in 1982 when valuations were rock bottom and we were just about to begin the biggest bull market in the history of the United States? Could the safe withdrawal rate possibly be 4% at all those times? Now, it can't be. So, you know, just using common sense, not looking at any numbers, you know, these studies are analytically invalid. It can't be. Theoretically, it could be that the lowest safe withdrawal rate is 4% and that at times of moderate valuation, the safe withdrawal rate is much higher than 4%. That's possible. Or it could be that 4% is the safe withdrawal rate at times of low valuations, and that at times of high valuations, it's much less than that. It cannot be that the safe withdrawal rate is a constant number. That is logically impossible. And if you understand that, and if you understand why that's so, the rest, I think, will follow. So, we know that the old school studies are analytically invalid in at least some way. We know that they can't be right. We know that the valuation level that applies on the starting date of retirement must affect the safe withdrawal rate. The safe withdrawal rate cannot be a constant number. There's a story that I think is funny that I can tell you about this. There was an article written about my views on these retirement studies. And if you look in the Buzz section of my website, you can find it. I believe that the website was boomeradvisor.com. I cannot swear to that, but if you look it up, you'll find the link to it. And the reporter, one of the jobs of a reporter is to state things very concisely. And he did a great job. And he had a sentence, and I'm paraphrasing, but he had a sentence where he said, everybody knows that valuations affect long-term returns. And I think that statement is true. I've never run into anyone who disputes that. The valuation level that applies today affects your long-term stock return. If valuations are high, your long-term return is going to be low. And if valuations are low, your long-term return is going to be high. So he said, one sentence he said in this article, everyone knows that valuations affect long-term returns. Therefore, this fellow, Rob Bennett, insists that valuations be considered when calculating the safe withdrawal rate. I think that's very funny. Because of the verb he used, he says, I insist on this. And when you hear the word insist, the suggestion is that I'm being stubborn or difficult or, sort of making a fuss over something that's not really that big a deal. I'm insisting, but, all these other people aren't insisting. What is it with this Rob Bennett individual? He has to insist on this. Well, I do insist on it. He's absolutely right. And that's the cause of all the friction we've seen in these discussions over 6 years. I insist that valuations be considered in the calculation of the safe withdrawal rate. That is an absolutely true statement. But to understand why I insist on it, please just go back to the earlier sentence the guy put forward. The earlier sentence was, everyone knows that valuations affect long-term returns. Well, shouldn't we insist then that they be considered in the calculation of the safe withdrawal rate? If we know that they affect the safe withdrawal rate, obviously the return you earn affects whether your retirement is safe or not. So we know that valuations affect the return. We know that valuations affect the safe withdrawal rate. Why the heck don't we include valuations in the calculation? But we don't. We don't. These old school studies give a single number. They give 4%. What they're doing is they're taking all of the historical data and they're throwing it into one big bowl of data soup. And when you throw it all into one big bowl of data soup, what you get is a finding that the safe withdrawal rate is always 4%. There's no question but that is indeed the number that's generated when you throw all the data into one big bowl of data soup. The question that I've put on the table is it analytically valid to throw all the data into one big bowl of soup? Or do you need to look at how valuations affect long-term returns? I say you must look at how valuations affect long-term returns. There are two times when A 4% withdrawal came close to failing. Now, if those two times just sort of randomly popped up, you could conclude, as the old school studies do, that a 4% withdrawal is safe. You could say, well, 4% always worked, so it's safe. But the two times on which 4% came within a whisker of failing, they didn't just randomly pop up. They popped up for a reason. The two times when 4% came within a whisker of failing are the two times when valuation levels went sky high, went totally out of control. The late 1920s and the mid-1960s. Those are the two times when we had valuation levels go totally wildly out of control. And surprise, surprise, those are the two times when a 4% withdrawal came within a whisker of failing. And then in the 1990s, we went to valuations far higher than what we saw in the late 1920s or the mid-1960s. Far higher. So, what does this historical record tell you? Does it tell you that using a withdrawal rate that barely survived at much lower valuations on the two times it was tried is safe? Or does it tell you that using a withdrawal rate that barely survived on the two times when valuations were high but much lower than the 1990s, is it telling you that withdrawal rate is risky? To any sane person, it's telling you that withdrawal rate is risky, not that it's safe. The words safe and risky are not synonyms, they're antonyms. The historical data is telling us that withdrawal rate is risky. The quote-unquote experts, the people who are considered experts today, but who really are at a very, very primitive understanding of how stock investing works, they're telling us it's safe, but they're wrong. What the historical data is telling us is that it's risky. Now, I'll give you an analogy to bring the point home. Say that you were to ask someone, what speed is safe to drive on a highway? The answer that would probably come to that person's mind is they might say, well, 65. If you drive 65 miles per hour, that's safe. That's a reasonable answer to that question. But there are times when driving 65 miles per hour is not one bit safe. So if that person tells you that 65 is always a safe speed, that person is wrong. What if it's snowing? What if there's a snowstorm going on around you? Is it safe to drive 65 miles per hour in a snowstorm? It's not. It's risky to drive 65 miles per hour in a snowstorm. Not safe, risky. Well, that's the way it is with stock investing. If you're putting together a retirement plan, you need to look at the conditions in place at the time that retirement plan begins. It's not a bad statement to say that at most valuation levels, a 4% withdrawal is safe. That's true. The types of valuation levels we've been at recent years are extraordinary. We've never seen valuations like this before. We are, in the late 1990s, early 2000s, we were in the biggest snowstorm ever encountered in the history of the market. And these so-called experts were telling us that a 4% withdrawal, they were telling us to drive 65 miles per hour during the biggest snowstorm in the history of the United States. They've caused millions of busted retirements. They've caused unimaginable amounts of human misery. They made a mistake. What I'd like to see is I'd like to see that mistake corrected. I'd like to see people get accurate information on what the historical data says about what withdrawal rate is safe. The big problem, there are two implications that follow from what I'm saying here today, and I can't explore them because the podcast would never end. But if you listen to other podcasts or look at the articles at the site, you'll see these implications explored. One question that should jump out at you is, how did this ever happen? How could there ever have been any reasonable person, not any reasonable person, forget the fact that we're dealing here with experts and we're dealing with a large number of people who made this mistake. How was there ever one person who made this mistake? How could there ever have been one person who thought you didn't have to take valuations into consideration when calculating the safe withdrawal rate? The answer to that question is that investing is a highly emotional endeavor. And at times of high valuations, we all have a desire to close our eyes to the realities and to go off into la-la land and to think there's some magical pixie dust that is going to make everything turn out different this time from how it's ever turned out before. And that affected millions of people, including the people who are referred to as experts, very much including the people who are referred to as experts. So that's one obvious question you should be asking yourself that we'll explore in another podcast. And the second question you should be asking yourself that we'll be exploring in another podcast is, if the experts all got the safe withdrawal rate wrong, if they all got their advice on how to plan a retirement wrong, what else did they get wrong? Because that's such a critical question. That's such an important question. We're all very vulnerable when we put together our retirement plans. We've got to count on this advice being right. If they got that one wrong, what else did they get wrong? The answer is they got it all wrong. If you can't calculate the safe withdrawal rate properly, you can't give effective investing advice. Because the error they made in these safe withdrawal rate studies is an error they make in all the advice they give about what your stock allocation should be at various valuation levels. So they didn't get one thing wrong. They got it all wrong. I'll make one last point, just not to leave this on a negative note. Because I worry that it's hard to take this in. It's hard for people to hear this. They hear that their retirement plans are going to go bust. The retirement plans of people they love are going to go bust. They hear that all the retirement advice they've heard for the last 20, 30 years is gravely flawed. And it makes people, it brings people down. And it shouldn't. I wish that it didn't. Because it's only by learning what we've gotten wrong that we can learn new things and get things right. And that's the goal. The goal is to learn new things. The goal is to advance our knowledge. What I've learned during the great safe withdrawal rate debate is the very first step to learning how stocks work in the real world is giving up your illusions, giving up the things we've gotten wrong. There are three words we've all got to learn how to say. They're short, one-syllable words, but they have tremendous power. The words are I and was and wrong. I was wrong. How I would like to sit down with John Bogle and see if I can teach John Bogle how to say those words out loud. I was wrong. And how I'd like to sit with Bill Bernstein and Scott Burns and Jonathan Clements and Bill Scholer and John Graney and Mel Lindauer and lots and lots and lots of others. Because when we learn to say those words, I was wrong, a world of wonderful opportunities opens up to us, a world of learning experiences. So this is not a down thing. Learning that the retirement advice of the past 20 years is horribly flawed and that millions are going to suffer busted retirements as a result, in all likelihood. There certainly is a sad side to it, you know. There certainly is. We certainly need to feel that. But, you know, life goes on. Human beings have made mistakes before, and we've learned from them. And that's how you take something bad and you turn it into something good. You learn from it. So we can go forward. We have to go forward. What choice do we have? We can't change the fact. We can't go back to the 1990s, whenever it was that the first old school study came out. We can't go back and redo it. We can't go back and replay it. We made a mistake. The mistake was spread, you know, all over the world. Millions of retirements were put together under a false understanding of how stock investing works. And now there's going to be great pain suffered. So that's on the downside. That's the downside. That's the horrible side to contemplate. But there's this wonderful, positive side to contemplate, which is we have learned how stock investing really works. Once you've learned what the mistake is, you can calculate the safe withdrawal rate accurately. That's the retirement risk evaluator. And please don't think that I'm saying that the retirement risk evaluator is the last word in retirement planning. I don't believe it is. I put that out before you so that you will scrutinize it and find the flaws in that calculator. I hope they're not as big as the flaws in the old school calculators, but whatever they are, they are. And the way we will improve the retirement risk evaluator and any other new school studies is by putting them to the test, studying them, finding the weak spots, and then improving them. So let's do that. Let's all work together to do two things. Get the word out about the horrible flaws in the old school studies. Today's retirement planning tools don't work. And then let's turn it into something positive. Let's get everyone who has ever recommended one of these old school studies to learn how to say those three magic words. I was wrong. Let's go forward. Let's create lots and lots of new school studies, new school calculators. Let's learn how to do retirement planning right. Let's take this bad thing and turn it into something very good. Good luck with your investing strategies. Take care.